Today's reading is from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, this morning, I want to suggest that there are three elements that we cannot live without. Now, some of you may be thinking, there's more than three. But I want you to just come along with me. With these three elements, I don't feel like I could live without. One being air. We know that we would not be able to survive longer than 3 minutes if we did not have air. Number two, water. Most of us could not survive any longer than 21 days if we didn't have food or water. And if it were just water, less. And the third is fire. Now, if humans don't have fire, that means we would have really big teeth and really strong jaws to chew our food. And so I would suggest that we would not be able to live without fire. And fire also keeps us warm. Without these elements, we would eventually die. But there are also events with these elements that we know we can do without, especially when the elements become so aggressive in nature that they harm us or cause us death. So with them in a positive moderation, we survive. With them in explosive excess, we expire. So let's take air. Air in its excess can lift us up and carry us away. It destroys our homes. We find ourselves in unfamiliar places, demanding that we pay attention to the power of nature. Water. We know water can wipe out towns and habitats and histories and lives, demanding years of rebuilding. And fire can destroy people, places, and things to unrecognizable ash. We've seen it on the news recently. We watch and we know that fire can consume our lives in an instant. When fire takes hold of our lives, it can leave us standing in a pile of ashes with nothing to put back together. Fire destroys what once was. So these elements have the power to transform us for good and for bad. But I think there must be this human disposition in our nature to want to stay away from fire. I remember as a small child, and even when we would take our children to one of those hibachi grills where they cook your food in front of you, and the chef likes to take the fire right up to the edge of the table, and then the chef would make the fire billow up, it would be my inclination to lean away from the fire. My kids would just scream But our human nature is to want to stay away from fire. But as I began thinking about fire, there's a lot of good things that come from fire too. Growing up, I loved a good campfire. And even now, when my family and I, when we go to our farm in southern Indiana, one of the first things we do is start a fire outside. There's something about sitting around the fire that invites the art of conversation. Tending the fire, having conversation, it's a sense of community. And then another one of my loves is glass art. This happens to be a Chihuly exhibit that we visited. And I also found out that Chihuly has an exhibit here in the Indianapolis Children's Museum. Rick and I went this fall to the Biltmore Estate to see this glass art exhibit. And glass is a beautiful thing that comes out of the fire. And then for me, since I lived in the South, in Nashville, Tennessee for a bit, who could resist a good pig barbecue roast? That tender meat of the barbecue that comes out of the ash, a southern delicacy. There are good things that come from fire that can enhance our lives. But more often than not, we notice the ways that fire affects us negatively. The fires in our own personal lives that reduce us or refine us or transform us. A descriptor of how fire can change us and our current state. Maybe you have experienced a literal or a metaphorical fire in your life. Maybe you have been victim to a house fire. Maybe you lost your job right before Christmas. Maybe you've made bad grades and had to leave school. Maybe you've experienced a relationship breakup or a health issue or a surgery or a personal attack or legal issues, addiction, a miscarriage, a change that was forced upon you. Fire, devastation, ashes come to our lives in many different ways. But one thing is the same. We are left standing in what used to be. We're left standing in a pile of ashes. Our text this morning is from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, who was speaking to the Israelites and all their troubles. Isaiah speaks into this list of our own life hardships that reduce us to ashes, refining us in a way that is very uncomfortable. So whether you choose to lean into the fire or the fire has been cast upon you, you may find yourself standing in a pile of ashes at some point in your life. And Isaiah reminds us what this looks like. Brokenhearted, captive, a prisoner to unwanted habits, mourning a loved one or a broken relationship, poor in spirit and asking, where is God anyway? In ruins, how do I rebuild? Or devastation, a life without hope. We find ourselves standing in a pile of ashes. And so we remember the scripture that Isaiah speaks to us today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. So this piece of scripture from Isaiah in the Old Testament shows up again in the New Testament, this time in Luke. And the person reading this scripture is Jesus while he's teaching at Capernaum. And at the end of the scripture, Jesus says this: "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What does that mean for us? That means that this scripture that Isaiah speaks to us this morning is a messianic scripture. It's a pre-Jesus scripture. And in Luke, we see that the one reading the scripture is the one who is to come. The one that is to come to fulfill this piece of scripture. This scripture points to Advent, which we will begin next Sunday. And so you might ask yourself, why do we need Advent? Why do we need someone to come? Our lives are so full. They're so busy. There's so many personal concerns that we are often separated from God in a way that leaves us without a prayer. And so as we begin to enter Advent, we enter into a season of wondering and waiting and expecting great hope. When the Lord is upon us, as Jesus says the Lord will be, we are in communion with God. And we enter into a communion with God in constant prayer. Jesus came to make beauty from our ashes. But we're so quick to see the darkness and not the hope. There's three news outlets that I pay attention to. One is the national news, two is the Indianapolis news, and three, since I'm still connected a little bit to Nashville, Tennessee, I watch the local news there. And there are some days that I just can't watch the news. I'm so saturated by what's being reported in the world that it's hard for me to watch. And then there are other days that I watch and I see an event and I think to myself, that would never happen here, right? But it does. There are piles of ashes all over our world and our community and our personal lives that make us ask, does prayer really matter? One of my favorite spiritual classics is a small book called The Way of the Pilgrim and the Pilgrim Continues His Way. It's about a man who has a crippled arm and he's on a journey to learn how to pray. And he sets off on this journey, having had a very complicated life before becoming homeless and poor. And he survives mainly on charity and his skills of reading and writing. And this man has a journey like no other. He meets lots of characters along the way. They give him food and shelter. He eventually meets a teacher who leaves him a book and a prayer. a very simple prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And the teacher instructs this man to pray this prayer over and over and over and over and over again every single day. When you breathe in, when you breathe out, let this prayer become your breath. Let this prayer become your connection to God. Let this prayer be your life. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Would you join me? Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. The prayer is intended for the one who is separated from God. But it ultimately had a different effect. It connects the man with God in such a way that he did not want to let go. And it took intention, but he continued to pray. So I can imagine over the last few days, you may have had an occasion to pray. Too much turkey, too many guests, too much shopping, not enough guests, not enough money to shop, too many health problems to eat what you wanted to eat too much of, or maybe you didn't think about prayer at all. Maybe you just noticed you were standing in a pile of ashes. Isaiah says, "The Lord is upon you." And not only is the Lord upon you when you're standing in the ashes, but the Lord will breathe new life into what looks dead. Another one of my favorite prophets is Ezekiel. Ezekiel has some really good words and images in his book. But this is one of my favorites. The hand of the Lord came upon me. Does that sound familiar? And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live." Those are good words. And another favorite of mine is Revelations. I love it when God speaks to us clearly. In Revelations, the writer John says, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the man who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." This is why we need hope. God comes to bring us hope. And sometimes it's helpful if it's reimagined in a fresh way that falls afresh on our ears. And so this morning, I'd like for you to hear the Isaiah passage in the form of St. Francis's prayer that you may recognize. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is offense, let me bring pardon. Where there is discord, let me bring union. Where there is oppression, let me bring good news. Where there is brokenheartedness, let me bring binding peace. Where there are captives, let me bring liberty. Where there are prisoners, let me bring your freedom. Where there is mourning, let me bring gladness. O Lord, let me not seek as much as to hold garland as well as ashes. To praise as well as doubt, to love as well as be loved. For it is in the planting we grow, the building we find you, and in the repairing we are raised to eternal life. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. We are not alone on this journey, although sometimes it might feel like that. But around every corner this morning, from the prophets to the prayer of the pilgrim, there is a community in which we live, pray, worship, serve, and care. It's in our schools, our neighborhoods, our work, our small groups, our church. We live in a we world, and we stand in the ashes as well as the beauty. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.